The previous Mishnah began to talk about the musical instruments which were played whilst the Levim sang to accompany the offering up of the Korban Tomid and the wine which was being poured on the Mizbeach at the same time, and everybody agrees that the only ones who were able to sing were the Levim themselves. The discussion of our Mishnah is who would play the instruments. According to the first opinion, it wouldn't necessarily have to be Levim. The Avdei Kohanim Hoyu, it could even be the servants of Kohanim. And the truth is, any non-Jewish slave owned by a Jew could do the same. This is not considered to be any part of the actual service itself, and it's only accompanying the actual singing of the Levim. And therefore, anybody can be the one to play the instruments. Divrei Rav Meir, that is the opinion of Rav Meir, who holds that Ein Malin Meduchon Leyuchsim. And what that means is, in general, when somebody wants to marry a Kohen, that woman needs to be investigated and her family lineage needs to be traced in order to make sure that she is permitted to marry a Kohen. There are more people who a Kohen is forbidden to marry, and there are certain positions which would have been held that if we find that the woman's, let's say, grandfather held this particular position, then it was assumed that he had a pure lineage and was therefore permitted to marry into a family of Kohanim, and all the more so a regular Jew. And the opinion of Rav Meir is that this position of playing the instruments in the Beis HaMikdash was not an example of such a position. And therefore, there's no reason why even a servant could not play the instruments. This wouldn't lead one to assuming that he is a Jew and he has full, pure lineage, and therefore he can play the instruments. However, Rabbi Yosi says, Mishpachos Beis HaPogrom and Beis Tzipporia, the families of Beis HaPogrom and Beis Tzipporia, they were the ones who played the instruments, and they were Me'emoyim Hoyo. They came from a place called Me'emoyim, Masin Lakahuna, and they would marry off their daughters into families of Kohanim, because they were known to have pure lineage. Rabbi Yosi is of the opinion that if we see that somebody held this position of playing an instrument in the Beis HaMikdash, it would be assumed that he had pure lineage, and therefore a servant cannot take that position. Only somebody who a Kohen is allowed to marry into that family, i.e. he is a regular Jew, not a convert, not a slave, only such person would be able to play an instrument in the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus says that Levim Hayu. They were Levim, in the same way as the only people who could sing in the Beis HaMikdash were the Levim, so too they were the only ones who could have any part in the musical aspect of the Beis HaMikdash, even the playing of the instruments. Mishnah Hey, the Mishnah now returns to the list of things which have a minimum and a maximum, and the Mishnah tells us that in Peichas and Meshisha Toloim HaMuvukorin, there can never be less than 6 sheep which have been checked to make sure that they have not got a wound or any blemish which would invalidate them from being brought as a korban. Belishkas HaTaloim, in the chamber of the Beis HaMikdash, in which sheep were held and kept there until they were used as the korban tomid, the korban which was brought twice a day in the morning and the afternoon, 2 sheep each day. And in this room, there had to always be at least 6 sheep which were ready and had been checked and were fit to be used as the korban tomid. And this was kedai la Shabbos v'lishnei yom tovim shel Rosh Hashanah, enough for a case where Shabbos would fall immediately before 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, so there would be 3 days of Shabbos and Yom Tov in a row. And the explanation of this is as follows. According to this Mishnah, at least, there was a requirement to prepare and to check the animal which was going to be used as the Korban Tomid 4 days before it was actually offered up. And that's really the true reason why there had to always be 6 sheep in the chamber, enough for the next 3 days. The truth is there were, in general, 8 sheep which were kept there for that day's Korban Tomid and the next 3 days, 4 days in total. And each day they would take 2 of the animals out of the chamber to be used for that day's Korbanos Tomid and add 2 more animals into the chamber, into that room. The reason why the Mishnah mentions there were never less than 6 is because they would first take the 2 animals which were needed for that day, and only later on, at least on that same day before nightfall, they would make sure to add 2 more animals into that room, which they would, of course, check now for any blemishes, and those 2 animals which are added now would be used 4 days later. So during that period of time, between when they took that day's animals out and put the two new animals which would be used in 4 days' time, there were only 6 animals which were there. And again, the reason for this number is because there was a requirement of checking them for blemishes 4 days before they were offered as the carbon tomid. When the Mishnah says that it needs to be enough for a case where Shabbos falls before 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, that's only said as a sign, as a way to remember that there would always be enough once the first two animals have been taken out for that day. There would always still be enough for the following 3 days, 2 animals each, and that's just a way to remember it. That's not the reason, because of course during the rest of the year, that reason is not relevant. But the Mishnah is giving a way to remember that the minimum number of sheep which would be kept there is always 6 animals, 6 sheep, umesifin ad l'olam, and we can add forever. There is no upper limit, there's no maximum for the number of sheep which can be kept in that room once they've already been checked. Next example on the list, in Purchas Mishtechat Tzitzreis, there can never be less than 2 trumpets which are blown for the blasts in the Beis HaMikdash. And we can add on forever, there's no upper limit, although the Gemara adds that they would try to not make it more than 120 based on a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim. But this was possibly not necessarily a prohibition to make more than 120, but more because of the way that it sounded. On a similar note, in Purchas Mishtishah Kenoyos, there could not be less than 9 harps playing when the Levim sang, and they can add as many as they want in order to enhance the music, that tziltzel levad, and the cymbals were by themselves, meaning one person would have the cymbals which would bang against each other, but there would be no more than 1 pair of cymbals as part of this orchestra as the Levim sang. Mishnah Vov, in Purchas Mishneim Osa Levim Oimdel HaDuchon, there can never be less than 12 Levim standing on the platform on which those who played the instruments stood. We're going to understand this Mishnah goes according to the opinion that it was the Levim who would play the instruments as well as the ones who would sing. And the reason for this number is essentially a collection of statements which have already been said in the past couple of Mishnayos. There could be no less than 9 harps. There had to be 1 pair of cymbals. And we also learned that there had to be 2 instruments called a navel, a lyre. And in total, that equals 12. So that is the minimum number of instruments which had to be used. And therefore, there had to be at least 12 levim to play those instruments. And they can add up until no limit. There is no maximum for the amount of instruments to be used in the orchestra for when the Levim sang. Continues the Mishnah, a child would never enter into the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash to be a part of anything in the Beis HaMikdash, Elo b'shosh ha-Levim omdim bashir, except for the time that the Levim were standing in song. Since the nature is that a child's voice can be more beautiful and can also reach a higher pitch, they would assist and join in with the other Levim who are singing. They would not be part of those who would play the instruments, the lyre or the harp. There was no need for a child to do that. The only reason why I would bring them in is because they would sing. They would only be able to be a part of those who would sing, which literally means in order to give a spice to the tune. That means in order to make it more beautiful and to reach an even higher pitch. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Imer Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says that that's all true. However, in Odin Laminyon, they do not count as part of the number. If there is a minimum number of Levim who would need to sing, which we are going to understand was also a minimum number of 12 Levim, corresponding to the 12 instruments, which was the minimum, the children cannot make up one of those 12. In Odin Laduchon, they also do not stand on the platform on which the other Levim who are singing would stand. But rather they would stand on the ground, their heads would be in between the feet or the legs of the other adult Levim. And interestingly, the Mishnah says, they were called and sort of nicknamed those who would cause pain to the Levim. There are different explanations for this nickname. The simple understanding is that they would cause pain to them, that they were not able to reach that high pitch, or that their voices were not as beautiful as the children, and that causes slight sadness to the adult Levim, who are not able to sing like the younger Levim. Another explanation given is that the adult Levian would also try to reach those higher pitches, but it hurt their voices to do so. So the younger Levian would cause pain in a more literal sense to those adult Levian. Perek Yomishna Aleph. The Perek begins with a law concerning the lords of Erechin, when one vows to give a value of somebody to the Beis HaMikdash based on the categories given by the Torah, his age group and his gender. But very similar to the way that the previous Perek went very sidetracked, this Perek is also going to do the same thing because of the structure of the first statement of the Perek, which does concern the laws of Erechin. The entire Perek is going to go sidetracked to discuss other laws, which are stated in a similar structure. Yesh bo arochin l'hokel l'hachmer. In the concept which was introduced by the Torah in Erechin, there is a leniency and a stringency. Meaning, in a simple, the simplest way to designate one's value to the Beis HaMikdash is to calculate his actual value in the marketplace, how much he would be sold as a slave. That is the precise measure of his value in monetary terms. So when the Torah introduced this new idea of having a fixed value, which is much more general, based on his age group, it's a very general category, and his gender, this new idea has within it it can sometimes be a leniency and sometimes a stringency, as the Mishnah will go on to explain in a couple more lines. As well as that, b'stei achuza, the law regarding a field which was inherited, there is also l'hakel l'hachmer, a leniency and a stringency involved in this, as the next Mishnah will explain, and the details of these laws are actually discussed in far greater detail towards the end of the Masechta. The last two or three parakim involve themselves in that discussion. B'shar ha-muad, shehemes es ha-eved, an ox which is a muad, which means that it has already gored previously, and the owner has been warned to guard his ox. Be as it may, this ox killed a non-Jewish slave. The Torah says that there is a fixed fine for the owner of that ox to pay. Instead of paying the actual value of the slave, he has to pay a fixed fine of 30 coins. And a leniency and a stringency lie within this law. L'hakel l'hachmer, it's to be lenient and to be stringent. Bo'oinos v'mfatav meitz shemra. The fixed fine that one who forces a woman to have relations with him, or he seduces a woman, which means that he convinces her to have relations with him, uvameitzi shemra, or a man who falsely claims that his wife has relations before they got married, the Mishnayos will discuss this in more detail later on, be as it may, there's a fixed fine that the person who committed that crime needs to pay, and within this there is l'hakel l'hachmer, a leniency and a stringency. That's sort of an index for the rest of the perek, and now the Mishnah goes to discuss the details of each one. Yesh bo Erechin l'hakel l'hachmer keitzad. What does it mean that within in the law of Erechin, of giving a fixed value based on one's age group and gender, this carries with it a leniency and a stringency? Echod sheherech es hanosha b'Yisrael, whether somebody declared that he's going to give the erech of the most beautiful person in the Jewish people, the one who is worth the most would be sold as the highest value, v'esakor shel Yisrael. Or if he said that he's going to designate the value of the most ugly person in the Jewish people to the Beis HaMikdash, in either case, he would give the same amount based on the categories given in the Torah, and the maximum would be Nosin Chamishim Sela. He would give 50 Sela, which is the amount given for a male between the ages of 20 and 60. And that is whether the person is in reality worth more than that, in which case it would be a leniency, or if he's in reality worth less than that, in which case it would be a stringency that he has to give more. On the other hand, Vim Omar Hari Domovalai, if he would have said that I am accepting upon myself to give the actual value of that person to the Beis HaMikdash, then Nosin Es Shavya, you would have to give his actual market value, whether it is more or less than 50 Selah.